This conference is being recorded.
Welcome. We have such an exquisite group gathered tonight. This is Sheva Kaur, and this is the Heart Start to Your Week call sponsored by Sierra, a company and a word created by me, although definitely not just me. It takes way more than one person to be doing all this that we are doing here. Sierra being defined as a great feeling in your heart, an inner alignment and knowing that nothing can take away. That feeling that you get when your arms fly up over your head and a yes to life flies out of your mouth. And what we do at the company called Sierra is based on 15 to 20 years of peer-reviewed scientific research from an institute called HeartMath. We give people a scientifically proven step-by-step process to be able to experience more Sierra more often in their lives and all the benefits that that brings to their health, their relationships, their performance, their careers. It's pretty great life. I'm just sitting here listening to my own self say that and going, wow, how did I luck out to be doing this for a living? And definitely it is a living for sure. So tonight's Heart Start call, we offer these Heart Start calls every Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time as really a way to say thank you to the community and to create an oasis where people can come, those who've taken our courses, to remember the power of the heart, to ask their questions about it, to anchor into its power and access it in a deeper way, and where those who don't have a clue what we're doing can come put their toe in the water or eat a Tizer or a chocolate out of the box for free. And so that's what these Monday nights are about. And we usually we address a wide variety of topics. Each night a special topic is assigned. Tonight we're going to talk about the power of the heart as it relates to animals, both in terms of receiving the gift that they are, in terms of communicating with them and learning from them and celebrating this world that we get to share with them. And so usually in the Heart Start calls, what we like to do is outline first a little bit of the science that our tools and technology are based on, and then begin to talk about how that science applies to the particular topic of the night, in this case, the beauty of animals in our lives and our pets, our friends, our beloved four-legged, furry, and feathered fellow travelers on the earth. And it just gives me chills thinking about it, because some of the most wonderful experiences I've had of what it is to be in the heart have been indeed with what we would call the animal kingdom. And some of the most inspiring stories that remind me of the power of the heart come from stories of how animals move through life. It even seems a bit odd to call them animals, because the word itself in our vernacular has a degradatory connotation, right? Mothers can say to their kids at the dinner table, "Stop eating like that. You're acting like an animal." And yet there's a wealth of heart that can be accessed in the way that we relate to the animal kingdom, I've found anyway, in using the tools of the heart. And, you know, we wouldn't think about pets as necessarily being a source of stress, but of course stress is the opposite of Sierra. And stress is a global epidemic. So one of the main things that we find ourselves here at Sierra doing is teaching people, in order to access more Sierra in their lives, teaching people how to overcome and transform their stress. And so without question, I've seen that people's relationship to the animals in their lives can be a huge source of stress. And we'll also look tonight at that and how to reverse that. But for the most part, animals have this ability to bring us directly to our hearts. And there's a lot of documentation on this, especially, for example, in nursing homes. They've been able to track increased longevity, health, and well-being for residents in nursing homes to bring pets there. So what we know from the HeartMath research and science is that care, feelings of care, of appreciation, of love, unconditional love, do cause physiological changes in our bodies. Most markedly, a ordered pattern in the heart rhythm, which all the rest of the body system seem to respond to. So when we experience a moment of genuine care or compassion or appreciation, the heart can be tracked, actually, even just on a spec technology offered by HeartMath. We have something called the M-Wave and the M-Wave PC, which is a feedback technology that HeartMath developed, which shows you your heart rhythms in real time. And you can see this ordered pattern start to take shape inside your own heart when you're experiencing a feeling of care or appreciation or love. And that order in the heart, because of the way the physics of the heart works, being that the heart is 60 to 80 times more powerful, electrically speaking, than the next in command, the brain, as far as electrical potency. Everything in the body, when the heart is ordered, or the word that we use at HeartMath is coherent, everything in the body harmonizes to that, like the conductor of a grand orchestra inside us. And when everything in the body harmonizes to that ordered heart rhythm, it changes our health. It reverses many of the signs of aging by lowering the stress hormone cortisol and increasing the anti-aging hormone DHEA. It changes the way our nervous system works and our sense perceptions function. It opens up higher centers of the brain. It literally brings us more to life. And it brings more life to us because we can take more of life in. So we know there's HeartMath science that explains that simple fact that when they bring pets into nursing homes, people respond better. They live longer. They feel better. They'd rather live longer. It's pretty cool. So in the invitation that I sent out to you guys tonight, I mentioned that I have had some very deep-hearted experiences with animals partly because animals aren't distracted by our verbal communication. You know, in the beginner HeartMath workshop, we have special tools for communication, and we talk about how miscommunication creates a lot of stress. Harvard Business Review reported that the number one cause of profit loss in corporations is miscommunication. And part of what causes miscommunication between human beings is that we get distracted by words. There we go. Even the word animal has a lot of different connotations to different people. In order to understand what someone means when they say the word animal, right? For some, that's something to be revered and adored and loved. For others, it's a degrading term. So in order to understand where people are really coming from and the words that they use, with all the Tower of Babel many languages that we have in our cultures across the world, We have to be able to speak the universal energy, to listen to the universal language, I say, of energy, to be able to listen to the energy behind the words that are being said. And so this order in the heart that comes when people are genuinely caring, genuinely grateful, genuinely compassionate, is a palpable energy, so much so that a machine can measure it, not even just a person or an animal, but a machine can measure it up to 8 feet or more beyond the body. So, for example, when you go in to have an EKG taken in a hospital, the med techs will step aside or leave the room. Anybody on the call know why they do that? Silence. Either that or everyone's muted.
Yeah, I'm muted.
So their energy doesn't interfere?
That's exactly right. This is a medically known fact to such a degree that they don't want the heart rhythm of the tech folks running the lab test to interfere with the test, to influence the patient's heart rhythm. So you could imagine in our living spaces, in our workplaces, we are sitting inside of one another's field of heart all the time. So I'm sure people have had the experience of, as a matter of fact, when I was in college, I used to know by how my cat would respond to my dates whether they were good people or not. Whether I should keep dating them or not, because right away he would either warm up to somebody or not trust them. And what he was sensing and tapping into is this field of energy behind the words that are being said. So stress creates a chaos or a disorder in the heart rhythm. And love, care, appreciation, gratitude create an order or a harmony in the heart rhythm. And animals not being distracted by words, which, by the way, as we discuss in the beginner workshop, are only 7% of communication. That's widely accepted in linguistics, right? That the word level of communication accounts for only 7% of the information that's being transferred. Well, imagine what that says about our emails and post-it notes, where all we have are words. Well, with animals, we enter into the realm of what the other 93% is. And the depth of connection that can happen there. Well, as I mentioned in your invitation to this call, it's through my dear furry friends that I have learned many lessons that have introduced me to that depth, not only with them, but then in my human interactions subsequently. So I'd like to start this heart start call in the heart to take a moment and just be present to one of the stories that I shared in the email that I sent, a story book that I read when I was a little girl about a lonely little girl who longed to have friends, and so she went out into the forest, and she chased the butterfly, and it ran away, and she tried to pick up the squirrel, and it scurried up a tree, and she held her hand out to the deer, and it scampered off, until finally she heard a voice in her own heart, which, when I originally read that as a child, I thought it was all just a metaphor, a fairy tale, a voice in your heart. Yeah, sure, that's like a frog that turns into a prince and an egg called Humpty Dumpty that breaks apart and gets put back together. And, right, a voice in your heart, it's like, you know, okay, sure, another one of those fairy tales. Little did I know that 30 years later I would be working with this research institute that's proven that, in fact, the heart does talk to the brain. It does speak to us. That they've discovered a brain in the heart that's opened a whole new field of study called neurocardiology, in which an intelligence in the heart, measurable by neurotransmitters, proteins, support cells, nervous system, an intrinsic nervous system of its own, is sending signals to the brain, guiding us to what we call here at Fiera your fulfillment blueprint. There's a GPS in your heart that is programmed for the end destination of your ultimate fulfillment. However, most of us have turned that GPS off. Well, this little girl in the story, frantic to make friends in her desperation, heard the voice of her heart, picked up on its signal, and it said to her, "Just sit still and be quiet." And that was very hard for a little girl like her. So she had to really focus herself to be still there in the forest. And so similarly, to allow the voices of the heart to speak to you clearly, it helps to get still, it helps to get quiet. So eventually what we teach in our heart math courses here at Fiera is you don't have to pull away from life in stillness and quiet to hear your heart. That's good news in this day and age, right? With all that we have to respond to from emails and cell phone voicemail and regular voicemail, and we're living life at very high speed these days. And so the good news is the signals from the heart are still accessible on your feet, on the spot, on the move. And our interactions with animals can really help us play with that. But for this moment, coming as we are from different time zones, different countries, some of you even listening to this call as a downloaded recording, let's take a moment and shift our attention to the area around the heart, like the little girl did in the woods. And if it helps you, you can put your hand there. And as your attention is focused on the area around the heart, you become aware of the heartbeat. And in this moment, we could also just acknowledge this is something we share with animals, with all animals in the animal kingdom. Our brains have developed somewhat differently, but we all have hearts. This heartbeat that you're feeling in your own chest is a point of connection with all living creatures on the earth. As a matter of fact, when we talk about communication and the confusion of the words at times, if you take a cell from your own brain, and, well, maybe you wouldn't want to go about doing that. That wasn't a very nice image. If we were to take a cell from your brain and my brain and my cat Gingy's brain and a horse's brain and a dog's brain and put them in a petri dish together, they would send out dendrites attempting to communicate, even the human brains. But the cells inside a brain are designed only for in-house communication. So those dendrites would not recognize any of the other brain cells in the petri dish. And so they would send out, trying to communicate, trying to make a connection. And eventually they would curl up and implode on themselves and die. Which at times to me sounds a lot like our current foreign policy with one another as human beings. We're destroying ourselves and our destruction of one another. However, if you take your heart cell and my heart cell and a frog's heart cell and a dog's heart cell, a cat and a horse and a cow, and you put them all together in a petri dish, all those heart cells, guess what happens? They start to beat together in sync with one another, as if they are one heart. And the surprising thing about this, besides the fact that they all entrain that way and are able to communicate and act as if they are one being, is that those heart cells will continue to beat until scientists get fed up and stop feeding them saline solution. I think the longest that experiment was conducted was over a period of 20 years, and they got tired of feeding it every day. So the heart that you're feeling right now with your hand on your chest or your focus there in the center of your chest, the treasure in your heart, is a point of connection between all of us and a point of communication between all of us. So while you maintain the focus of your attention on the center of your chest, just allow the breath to come in evenly and go out evenly. And to come in evenly. And to go out evenly. And as you continue that focus of attention in your heart, with the breath coming in through the heart and out through the heart, I'd like you just to connect with your own experience of animals. You could bring to mind memories of animals that you've loved and that have loved you. Stories you've heard about animals or lessons you've learned from animals. Your genuine love and appreciation for the animals in your life. It turns out that as you're doing this right now, just notice how it feels. This love, this gratitude, this appreciation creates order in your system. And we'll teach people how to access that through the tools of heart math. We have about 30 different tools that we teach in our courses that allow people to access this internal order through the power of the heart in any circumstance, whether it's in communication, in project planning, in arguing, in any conceivable stress. I have found that animals immediately respond. So this little girl in the story became very quiet in her own heart and sat there in the woods, tapping into what you're feeling right now, the stillness inside the heart. And as she became still in her heart, the deer started edging towards her, peeking to see what was this creature that was so peaceful and not preying upon it. And shortly thereafter, the squirrel came and started eating an acorn next to her knee. And a butterfly landed on her palm, and a ladybug did too. And one by one, the animals that had been frightened of her when she was chasing them came to her when she was still. That story was my favorite story as a child. I think something in me contained in that story was a blueprint for my life's work. Because what happens when animals don't feel like they're being chased is they open in the heart. Well, the same is true for human beings, that no longer are we living in the jungle needing to care for our immediate survival. So the part of our brain designed for survival, emotions, for example, which are a part of our middle brain, and we talk about specifically in the HeartMath beginner workshop. The hind brain is the brain that we share with like amphibians and lizards, and it's responsible for simple binary code, approach avoidance. So I will eat you, you will eat me. There's the approach or avoid, or we will procreate together. Approach, avoid, approach. Okay, and I'm sure we can all think of people that are living their lives still that way. I will eat you, or you will eat me, or we will procreate together. We'll approach each other or avoid each other one way or another. Then the midbrain came along as part of our evolution, that we share that with mammals, and that's where emotions first formed in our evolution. And they also originally were designed for survival adaptations, the emotions that are centered in the middle brain or the mammalian brain, where we store emotional memory and have pattern recognition. And this is brilliant. It's such an intelligent design. This pattern recognition of emotion was designed to help us survive better. So let's say yesterday I was out scampering around with my cousin Jed, and the tiger ate him. He didn't avoid fast enough. And that scared me and made me angry, and so it burned an indelible emotional memory in my midbrain. So today when I'm out for a walk looking for berries or whatever I do, if I catch the scent of a tiger again, it triggers that emotional memory of fear or anger, and I scamper away faster. And that is a survival adaptation. That's where our emotions of fear, of anger, of territoriality, jealousy come from. Old animal survival in a prey-predator world. Well, now here's the trick. Most of the things triggering our fear, triggering our anger, triggering our jealousy are not directly survival threatening. Because we live in a world now with the technology and the advancements that we've made where our day-to-day activities are very rarely directly linked to physical survival, and the threats that we experience are more psychological threats. The fear of rejection, the fear of losing a job, the fear of not having enough money, which our bodies receive as a signal that they're physically in danger. And our animals in our lives, so ironic, right? That the very animals that we are evolving from are here as wonderful mirrors, sources of unconditional love that are helping us evolve from this constant survival fixation. Because you see, the difference with animals is that for the most part, they're reacting when things are a survival threat. And the rest of the time, they're using that system, if you will, appropriately. Whereas human beings are firing stress hormone and survival reactions in their nervous system when they get a phone call or an email they don't like. An animal is doing that like yesterday when I had quite a heart-racing experience as my cat was being chased by another cat and ended up being chased off a second-story balcony and was dangling on the edge of the balcony by one claw when I saw it and opened the door. The other cat ran away, and I believe it now that cats have 9 lives because there was Gingy. He managed to pull himself up and hoist himself by one paw back onto the balcony. Whew, that makes my hands sweat just talking about it. And yet there I was in that moment, such a perfect example. All of my stress hormone kicked in and my heart started racing. It wasn't me in that situation. And there was nothing that all that could do to help him But I did, and this is the beauty of learning and using and practicing heart math, instantly apply a heart math tool, because I knew there was nothing physically I could do to support Gingy in that crisis yesterday, in that moment. Immediately, my attention, without even thinking about it, because I've practiced these tools now for 12 years, went into my heart, and I immediately started sending him heart to support him. And it was then that he hoisted himself up and survived. So you can see, even just for me right now, just the thought, just the memory of seeing him in that precarious situation activates my nervous system, gets my hands and my armpits sweating. This is what's happening to us day in and day out. By suggestion, this middle brain that we share with mammals, this emotional memory, is getting triggered, interrupting our quality of life and our ability to perceive accurately what's happening in front of us. And animals are a wonderful reflection of this. As a heart math provider and a healer, I've been brought to work with many animals, and usually what I find is it's actually the people they live with that I need to work with. That the animals often, so often, are reflecting people's issues. It's caught in that sort of energetic pattern, if you will, of their heart rhythm. And reflecting that. Amazing. I mean, we joke about it, right, that animals look like their owners. But so often they also have the health issues of their owners because of this shared field of the heart. And so that can also be, that shared field can be healed. And the love that animals bring us, the unconditional presence, can teach us that. I've communicated myself with animals for a long time, and it's not something that I talk about widely or advertise, because in this day and age they think you're Dr. Doolittle and that you should be locked up. But in the heart, in the patterns of energy and feeling, there's direct communication with animals. Direct communication with animals, and some of the stories and experiences I've had since learning heart math, which was like this golden gift to discover that not only was that story about the little girl whose heart told her to be still a true story, but there was a way you could learn to access that and be that. That was so exciting. And so as soon as I learned the step-by-step process to access the heart and find that stillness, that care, that love, I started applying it with animals. And my first experience, I was actually traveling in Costa Rica, and I was breathing this heart math tool of appreciation, attitude breathing, for the rainforest we were in, and this gorgeous parrot flew down and landed right on my head and proceeded to hold on to me with his claws in my hair as we walked through this entire rainforest. It was about an hour that he stayed with me. I can't explain to you the beauty of that, but animals are drawn to this ordered pattern when we are at peace. They're drawn to it because they live in a prey-predator world all the time, and they can sense, even more than we can often, when we've been hijacked by our old survival physiology, when we are preying upon our online shopping deals. I actually even teach a course for corporations called Ending Prey-Predator Sales. Because so often those of us that run our own businesses, I even fall into this in my heart map, workshops when I'm trying to fill them, can become like predators trying to capture our prey. And so we're dancing out this jungle life as human beings running supposedly sophisticated businesses. And my cat was such a great teacher for me, such a fabulous mirror for me. When he first came into my life, and I won't bother repeating that story, for those who want to hear it and are listening to this as a recording, you can find the story of how Gingy and I met online. It's pretty fun. definitely would not have stayed together with each other had it not been for the heart. Because when we first came together, I had just graduated from Chinese medical school. I was $80,000 in debt for that medical degree. My student loan payments were over $1,000 a month, which was more than my rent at the time. And I was self-employed and I had no clients. And I was in a chronic financial panic. Chronic financial panic. And so that was causing my midbrain to completely hijack my heart. I was walking in fear all the time, and yet here I was living in one of the wealthiest cities in the wealthiest nation in the world with abundant food and everything I could possibly need right there. And yet my body was seized as if I was in a drought in the desert. And this is how many of us are living our lives, surrounded by complete abundance and hijacked by the survival animal brain. And so what that did inside me was it created a kind of aggression, because fear turns into aggression to protect survival. And so I was aggressively trying to make money in every possible way that I could. And then Gingy came into my life. And he was an acrocat, I called him, because he was just bouncing off the walls and I couldn't type into the computer or write anything without him pouncing on my hands. And I would fling him off and get in a rage because he was in my way of taking care of myself and making money. Well, this went on for a few weeks until, as you guys, some of you read in the invite that went out, I finally realized that if we were going to stay living together, I needed to change this dynamic. And so it was stressing me out, to say the least. And I went to my heart, and I used a heart math tool, and it showed me that I had... That Gingy's behavior was reflecting my own. That in fact I had staked this as my territory and I was aggressively going after everything I could to preserve my territory. And so he was reacting to that. And as soon as I made a shift to the heart, the way I did it was actually ended up finding something to appreciate, and this is useful for people in your life as well. Finding something to appreciate about him, about the thing that bugged me the most, which was he knocked over all my drinking glasses and broke every one because he liked to play with the water when it spilled. And just to mention in this moment, we're getting some background noise from people who are walking around, so if you wouldn't mind just pressing *6, that will mute your phone, and then you can *6 again to unmute if you want to ask a question or share a story later. Thank you. So I went to my heart, I applied the heart math tools to manage the stress, and what I first discovered is that I could appreciate at least the fact that he liked to play with water when so many cats are terrified of water. Now that seems like something so small, and yet it was really huge, because inside myself what it was a shift from allegiance to fear to allegiance to love. Appreciating that he could love something that so many were afraid of was awakening in me a freedom from fear through love. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't process it that way. I just thought, wow, that's kind of cool. He likes water. So that internal GPS, that still small voice in my heart, sent me to the toy store to get him a water toy. And I found a little bathtub toy for toddlers that had a bunch of canals with sailboats in it. I walked back to the house with it, walked in the door, and everything had changed. Now, Gingy and I weren't having conversations. We weren't figuring things out. We weren't discussing who was going to sleep where and get up at what time and what he was allowed to do and not do. None of that occurred. What happened is my energy became ordered around him because of an act of care. I went from defending and being offended and protecting and being fearful to caring. And he felt it right away, and he completely changed. Instead of pouncing on me when I walked in the door, he came walking up and started sniffing the box. And from that moment on, he never once has pulled his claws on me, and that was 7.5 years ago. So we have subsequently become very, very close. But what happened is I got to see in that moment ways that I had not been living present and from love in the moment, ways that my own fear of survival had turned me into a rabid dog in my life. And ironically, it took an animal to teach me that, in the way that Gingy reflected back my own behavior to me. There are so many stories that I could share about my experience in the heart with animals, some of them which I offered in the invitation that went out. Most impactful, I think, have been the dolphin swims that we've had on our Fiera HeartMath retreats in Hawaii, where I take people once a year and we swim with the dolphins. And I really learned in being with them how instantly they feel where I'm coming from. There have been times when I've taken people on these dolphin retreats, and here I am, you know, people have paid me several $1,000s to come on this high-end exclusive vacation, and I'm sitting there in this wild bay going, God, I hope the dolphins show up and I don't let people down. Well, you can be sure that when I'm approaching it that way, they don't bother to come. They're not interested in making me a commercial success, thank goodness. But when we arrived there as a group genuinely ready to connect with them in the heart, genuinely caring for one another without an agenda, which activates that prey predator brain, but just open and available to the unfoldment of our hearts, beating as one as they do in a petri dish, in the petri dish of the bay. That's invariably when they show up. And I've learned that when I'm out there swimming in the bay, we go to Kealakekua, Captain Cook, Hawaii, on the Big Island. When I've been out there swimming in the bay and I sincerely apply the heart tools, I start radiating care from the heart into the water. Very often the entire pod of, 40 to 70 dolphins will feel that and come and just rest underneath me. And then we just sit together like that in the heart. And it's so interesting to see how that disarms the aggression in all types of animals, including human animals. I was out in the bay at one point doing that, as I was often doing, radiating heart, radiating spirit, if you will, or practicing heart math tools, I should say, out in the water. And the next thing I knew, I thought at first it was a dolphin surfacing under me and just resting there the way the pods of dolphins like to do. And it was actually a shark. And it was doing exactly what the dolphins did, just resting quietly underneath me. Well, when I recognized it was a shark, I went into immediate fear. And my heart started racing. And even though I was immersed in water, my hands started sweating. And I hightailed it away from there. And it occurred to me afterwards, I felt this kind of sadness as I somewhat realized there was no need for me to run like that. That even aggressive animals respond to this peace, this stillness in the heart, this connection between us all. It's a consciousness that usually we don't explore that much because we're teaching people simple ways to manage their stress and practical ways to improve their lives. But in terms of the consciousness that recognizes our wholeness and our connection to each other in one grand whole. The heart is without a doubt a portal to that, and animals respond immediately to it. There have been times when I've done heart lock-ins, which is a tool, again, that we teach in the beginner workshop here. And Gingy is usually a wild predator, but there was one heart lock-in I did while I was teaching a beginner webinar. And I had the class on the phone, and Gingy came in, as he always does. He can feel when I'm doing a heart lock-in anywhere. And hopped in the window and sat on my chest. And following him was a squirrel that he usually chases, who sat down next to me. And Gingy just sat there ignoring the squirrel and purring. And the two of them and I sat there in the heart together. And I barely moved. I couldn't believe it. I did whisper to the class, "You guys won't believe what's happening right now." And, of course, the story that I love of Krishnamurti sitting in deep meditation in India and a wild orangutan who was considered, I was told, very dangerous, came and sat quietly next to him and joined him and held his hand. Well, these are living examples of the truth that our hearts beat as one. And that, in fact, this point of connection that animals tap us into when we love and care for them and they connect with us gives us a mirror of the science that our hearts in a petri dish beat as one, that we are all connected. And a fun tidbit on the heart math science, again, that we often don't necessarily share, but that's a fun fact, is that when our hearts are experiencing this appreciation and this love, which, of course, our pets can elicit from us, then they go into that ordered rhythm. The power spectrum that that creates in every person, while the rhythm is different, the power spectrum is the same and resides around 0.1 hertz, which is the same as the background noise of the universe. So I picture us all in this context as individual instruments in a grand symphony of the universe, the one song, our hearts being the beat that connects us all, whatever species we're from, whatever race we're from, whatever religion or creed, this is the point at which we all connect, and animals speak that universal language. Whatever species they're from, whatever they prey upon or are preyed upon by. So I definitely have the sense that I myself have only barely begun to scratch the surface of the power of the heart to receive and perceive communications from animals. I alluded to the fact that Gingy, my cat, has taught me many lessons, and this reflection he gave me of my own aggression in the beginning was just the beginning of a lot of learning. I also find that he, and to those listening who have been here for classes or for sessions, he responds immediately to people when they need healing. And this is another thing that we can notice about animals. The same way they communicate and respond immediately to our peace or our own internal disorder, they recognize where energies are disordered, and there's a lot of documentation about the dolphins we swim with in Hawaii and in other places, approaching people who have cancer and spending time with them or resting their fins and so on right on a body part that has a tumor. Similarly with cats, and there was a beautiful story about a cat in a nursing home that always would go and lay with people while they were dying, so much so that it became a predictor of death. Was that reliable that the nursing staff knew when a person was going to die because the cat would go and be with them for an hour or more before and lay with them and be a midwife, if you will, of that process. when I studied Kabbalah as a teenager, which is Jewish mysticism, they used to say that with our direct sense perceptions, we only see 1% of the real world that's here. And the realm of the energy behind things is 99%. Very similar, right, to the words being the tip of the iceberg of the true information being communicated. Well, as animals are sensitive to the energy behind things, they can be teachers to us to find the heart where we too, there's nothing necessarily mystical or odd about it. We can be sensitive to the energy behind things. And this is the heart's knowledge and wisdom and intelligence. It receives that information the same way you are listening to my voice giving you words. And many of us have lost our tuning to that information because we learned in school, instead of to listen to that, to add and subtract and divide and read books. Nothing wrong with that. It's just such a small percentage of intelligence. And animals tapping into and being sensitive to the energetic domain of existence can be models for us and help us again to find our heart, which also can tap into what the Kabbalists call the 99%. And that's intuition. And the most exciting research to me at HeartMath is the latest research showing that, in fact, the heart brain knows things before the brain does, and that the signals from the heart communicate those things upward when the heart is in an ordered rhythm. In other words, this knowingness comes from the heart, and we can learn how to access that intuition again, to respond more effectively to life, to have a fuller life experience, the way these animals can. I remember a Disney story that was a true story when I was a child of a cat and I think it was two dogs whose family moved, and somehow they moved all the way across the country, and somehow the animals were accidentally left behind by the moving company, and the family was absolutely devastated. And I think it took the animals 6 or 7 months, but they actually found the family. They traveled across state lines and found the family in their new home. Can you imagine the joy at that reunion? How does that occur? Well, they don't have blockages to hearing the internal GPS of their own heart. It's there signaling all of us to come home, to find our home in each other, to find our home in the heart, to find our home in our fulfillment that we were uniquely designed for. And in my own experience, loving animals has been a portal to opening up that guidance system. And so many miraculous stories as they follow theirs. I remember at one point I had a patient here at the house who was in need of, she had been sexually abused as a child, and her pelvis was bound very tight, and this was causing, because of the way it created a tension in her body, it was causing deep psychological problems and the inability to sleep. And I had been educated in acupuncture school and in body work in a quality of pelvic release that would help unwind that, if you will, and help her energy flow properly or more smoothly again. However, I could just sense by the way she held herself so tightly that if I were to even suggest that I work in her pelvic area, that would be experienced as threatening and possibly even abusive for her. And so I used HeartMath tools instead to support her in that way. And the next thing, she was laying on my treatment table at the time, and the next thing I knew, my cat, Gingy, had jumped up onto the treatment table, placed both of his paws smack onto her pelvis. Amazing. And so I looked at her and I kind of sheepishly, and I was like, are you okay with him being there like that? And she smiled and said, oh, he's fine, he's lovely. And he proceeded to purr and give her the treatment that I knew I, as a human, could not do because she would find it invasive. So perhaps one of the most important places that I find people need heart tools in being with animals, because the truth is being with our pets is a heart tool. Loving animals, we know, we have data, and I even sent some of it to you in the HeartStart calls, that our hearts entrain with the animals we love when we're with them. We've collected data on that, or HeartMath has, between a boy and his dog, which I sent out today. Also, I've seen that for horses and their riders, which is why I was called into Cavalia in part to work with the performers in that equestrian circus to help them connect better with their horses. And we've also seen it with dolphins and humans, that the heart rhythms do sync up when we're interacting in a loving, caring place. And so animals and our love for animals is definitely in some ways a heart tool unto itself, though not one that we would copyright or trademark, one that's, thank goodness, ambient out here in the world. However, there's the difficulty that many of us face when our animals are ready to die or when our animals are sick. And I've seen people go through huge stress with this. And I'm, in spite of my 12 years of practicing HeartMath, I'm not immune to that. And I tell Gingy on a daily basis that he's not allowed to die. I don't think that's such a good idea, but there you have it. And so I've had the privilege of coaching many people through the transition and death of their animals using the HeartMath tools, because our own internal GPS in the heart is really required for us to assess, out of care for them, when is it appropriate to put them down and help them not to suffer. And knowing that animals experience death in a very different way than human beings do. And knowing that, I've had some remarkable experiences in midwifing animals and their friends through the dying process. And it can become what is often the greatest grief and stress for many people, can become a great joy and a great teaching when you learn to look at it, listen to it, follow your heart in it. That having been said, I realize I've talked a long time tonight and it's already 6 o'clock, so I would like to open up the lines right now. If there are any questions, any stories of your own that you'd like to share, while some of you may be gathering your courage to speak, do remember that this call is recorded. And if any of you have stories or questions that you want to share that are that won't be recorded, you can always email those to me, which is Sheva, or of course if you're listening to this as a recording, then it's hard for you to ask a question now. It's Sheva, S like Sam, H, E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Fiera, F like fantastic, YERA.com. You can also call us directly here at Fiera at 310-581-1507. And just to let those of you also who are interested in learning more depth about the tools that I've spoken about tonight, if you want more, there's another free class tomorrow evening from 5 to 6:30 p.m. It's the first night of our beginner webinar, which runs for 4 weeks, and the first night is free. And you can register for that by going to Fiera, F like fantastic, YERA.com. On the homepage, you'll see a place where you can click to register for the beginner webinar. And there's also a place there where you can sign up to receive the call-in information for all of our free calls on our Monday nights, summaries of the calls, and a place there, too, where you can access our HeartStart page, where all the archived recorded Heart Start calls can be downloaded as a free gift. And you'll see there's calls on a variety of topics there that you can listen to. So before we open up the lines for your questions and stories, I just want to acknowledge an email that I received yesterday from a friend of mine, which let me know that 85,000 cats and dogs in Los Angeles are euthanized or killed each year because they don't have homes. I spend a lot of time caring for children who are homeless in third world countries through the work of our nonprofit foundation, the Sierra Foundation. And when I saw that, I suddenly felt, you know, we, at least in North America anyway, we don't go around killing children because they don't have homes. 85,000. So as we're making a transition here to your questions, I would love it if we would just take a moment to drop our attention into the heart and radiate our care, our appreciation, our compassion to those animals that don't receive love, that don't have a place to live. Maybe even using your own pets or the animals that you've loved in your own life as a portal of connection to those animals that you don't know, who don't have homes, opening your heart and extending it beyond just your own family. So for those who need to leave right now at 6 o'clock, thank you so much for joining us, and I will stay on the line to answer any questions or hear any stories that anyone would like to share. Just be sure to star 6 yourself to unmute.
This is Becky.
Becky.
Hello. I'll try to keep it brief. I just lost a cat 3 months ago. That's the closest I've ever been to any pet. You know, I've had him all my life, and she was almost 20 years old. And one thing, when my mother died, and I came home and was just sitting in a chair, just numb and crying, and all of a sudden I realized that all three of our cats had just appeared from all over the house and were sitting all over me, and I didn't even know it, and that had never happened. And that's just how attuned they are to your, you know, your feelings. And my son, we had taken him to specialists and knew something was wrong, and no one was able to find out, unfortunately, until he was in his 20s. But what they found later was that he was rapid cycling bipolar and ADD. And it's unfortunate they didn't find out in time, but you can imagine that he suffered a lot when he was a child. But this cat of mine was not ever a snuggler with anybody, but for many years when he was a young child in grade school, every single night she got on his pillow and wrapped herself entirely around his head and slept that way every night.
Wow. And
absolutely know that there was totally, totally a healing energetic reason for that, because she would never snuggle with anybody, but every single night while he slept, she wrapped herself exactly on his head, or all around his pillow, I mean all around his head on his pillow, and slept that way. And I know it had to do some healing things. And she also had some miraculous healings that are too long stories. And then what you said about telling your cat every day that he or she is not allowed to die, and I went through that, but it changes when it's appropriate, because when I kept asking mine, you know, please stay with me as long as you can, and then finally when she was suffering, then I changed it to please stay with me as long as you can, and then stay with me as long as you want to, and let me know when it's time. You know, please let me know what you need. you know, what I can do for you and when it's time. And she did. And she had always been absolutely hysterical and frantic at the vet. Not only did she give me signs on the very day that I totally, totally knew it was time, and of course it was an agonizing decision, but when we took her to the vet to put her to sleep, she was totally, totally peaceful. And then that day she had not even been able to get comfortable enough to sit down at all. I mean, she was so uncomfortable. She couldn't lie down, sit down, sleep, or all kinds of things, but she somehow just, as we even got into the vet's office, in his office, the treatment room, she laid down as if she was comfortable and was extremely, extremely calm and peaceful, and just in so many ways communicated to us. She knew exactly what was going on. She was peaceful and calm, and just put us so much at ease with the decision that can have so much guilt of, you know, it's okay, you know, I'm ready, I know, and I'm ready, and, you know, the peace, and it was absolutely amazing.
And, it is amazing how they communicate so directly with us, your feelings, isn't it? You know, your story calls to mind, I mean, I joke about telling Gingy that he's not allowed to die, and yet he is really, as I mentioned in the invitation, he's played a really key role in helping me with the use of HeartMath tools.
Yes.
To open up to people and make friends with people and allow people more into my life and my heart. And I was a very, people laugh at when I say this now because I'm obviously very out here in the world and playing with people all the time, but I was a terribly shy child, very defended person, very aggressive and frightened. And part of that was a fear of loss, really. My best friend was murdered when I was 7, and that same year both my grandparents died and several other people close to me died of illness. And it instilled in me a terror of loving people for fear of losing them. And I had been without a partner in my life for many, many years and had, you know, let Gingy get close to me through our little water toy experiment. And so I had become dependent on him for a while as my friend, my partner, my pal, and he disappeared for 3 days. And it was a very interesting series of coincidences, if you think that there are coincidences, because he disappeared for 3 days and I panicked. And then I remembered that through the heart, I knew how to stay connected with him even if he was gone forever.
Yes.
And that as I tapped into that connection that I had with him, I realized that that was true of human beings too, and that I didn't need to be afraid of being intimate and loving with people because I didn't have to fear losing them. I could stay connected with them always in the heart. And the moment I got that lesson, while Gingy was gone, a young man came into my life who I'd been in acupuncture school with, and he generously, each day that I was at work, came to the house to check and see if Gingy had come home and kept reporting back to me. And because of the opening this experience had in freeing my fear of loss, I ended up in my first relationship with that young man, and we were together for many years. And as soon as I let that man into my heart and my life, Gingy reappeared.
Mm.
He had given me the lesson that he wanted to. So when we learn how to tune to the heart and catch signals, we can interface with animals in a very deep way and receive an evolution and a communication and a compassion and care exchange with them that I had no preconcept of before I learned how to access the heart.
I understand that totally. And when we moved and my cat got lost for an entire month, and I had no idea what actually happened to her and tried all the things, looking at shelters and all that, but I just kept talking to her and communicating to her and calling her back to me, and did find her, and but also now that she's gone, I feel a connection to her and a even stronger closeness in a totally different way. I sort of look at her as one of my guardian angels, but it's like, and it sounds crazy, like you're saying, talking to animals, and I have always also, but I really, really feel this tremendous strength that she gave me once she got to the other side, that she is so much a part of me that she has given me strength, and I feel it, and I've been able to do things, and it, I mean, it sounds insane, but I know it's true.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. You know, what else your story is jogging in my awareness, I have a client who's written a book about how her horse saved her life. And the book is really exquisite. They're making a movie out of it now. If anybody wants to look it up and buy it, the book is called Virginia Gentleman. And it's by Mary Mitchell Barnes. And this connection that we have with all beings, though it's easier sometimes for us to recognize it with animals after they die, but I discovered that with my father after he died as well by applying heart to that situation. But this book, Virginia Gentleman, by Mary Barnes, really extraordinary. And what Mary herself didn't even realize, and she writes about her own experience in the book, her drug addictions, and how the horse was the one thing that kept her alive, her care for him. And, of course, we know that care brings that order. And so he actually ironically ended up dying of overeating sweet feed.
Oh.
And I have said to Mary that it was really his last gift to her to show her that unless she overcame her addiction, it would kill her. And he, you know, he chose to leave in such a way as to really wake her up and see that she needed to find the discipline there with that. So just so many amazing animal stories out there, of course, and wonderful animal communicators, too, that have written books about connecting with animals in the heart. But this is a special book that some of you might enjoy reading if tonight's topic speaks to you. Thank you, Becky, for your beautiful contributions, as always.
Thank you.
Hey, Saba.
Hello.
This is Becky.
Hey, Becky. My two Beckys.
Yeah.
I'm glad you made it tonight. I was hoping you'd be here. I thought this topic might resonate with you.
Oh, so much. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I've lived it. I've lived what we've talked about for so long, and it's just so nice to understand it. The thing I wanted to share is I really felt a healing during our hour-long discussion.
Our private session, you mean, or this discussion right now?
This discussion. Well, I definitely...
Oh, how beautiful.
It's sprouted or whatever, bloomed from our private discussion. Yes, definitely. And it's just so interesting because it's something I've been working on for years and years and years and tried, you know, counseling and stuff like that. And it's like an hour of connecting with hearts of other people and my own. It's like, it's resolved. And the thing
well, you're sharing that in common with Deepak Chopra, who said about HeartMath that it would save people years of therapy.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
That's great.
What happened was when I was very, very young, I kind of grew up in a situation where I didn't get to experience the heart. And it was kind of, you know...
Yeah, you and almost 6 billion other people on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. And so I experienced it from a couple people in my life, and I immediately just knew that that's what I wanted, and that's what I wanted to be able to give, you know, to people. And I finally get it. I can do that. I can give that to people, and it really does make a difference. And Oh, my goodness. I'm so thrilled.
Well, tonight's call is so apropos to your private session, isn't it? Because that was really about how do you communicate in the heart, not getting caught up in the words. So now you can just imagine that you're a Cheshire cat or a puppy dog when you're trying to talk with people.
Exactly, yeah. And because of having the issues with the words and all of that, I've always gotten along really well with animals and young children who don't really know how to talk very well.
Yeah, Becky has some specific challenges that make that even more poignant for you, which can become then assets in your life because they force you to find the heart where other people can masquerade with the words.
Exactly. It's such a blessing. And I really, I knew it and I believed it, you know, and I'm like, even when I didn't believe it, I'm like, I know it. And now I see it. And it's just such a nice gift to be able to see that. And so much pressure relieved. Oh my goodness, I'm going to start crying. I'm so happy. And all from learning to, you know, connect it with my heart. And I know you said that when I first started listening to you, and I thought, okay, whatever, I'll believe it, I'll go with it. And it's just amazing how true it is. And I have my life fulfillment now, and now I can go on and go ahead and enter, you know, society or whatever and just do whatever I want and just be fulfilled and happy. And I don't know, maybe I'm blubbering.
No, I'm sitting here thinking, God, I couldn't pay you. What a great advertisement you are. I couldn't pay you enough to be saying these things. It's so true, though, right? It's that simple. I wish when I was in kindergarten, someone had said, oh, by the way, we're going to teach you math, arithmetic, you know, writing, reading, social studies. But if you want fulfillment, just consult with your heart. It's right there in the center of your chest. It'll be there throughout your entire education, and you can ask it any time.
Exactly.
I'm like, nobody ever showed me that.
No, they didn't. And I don't know. I just felt led to share a little bit more about, you know, my personal. I have Asperger's, which is a form of autism, and it makes it so you can't connect with people. And it's a very lonely, lonely life. And when you can't connect with people, and there's so many people out there that are trying to care for people who are in that position, and it's so hard to do it because how do you connect with somebody who can't connect with you? And it goes to the core of, you know, in the brain where it's just not, it just can't happen in so many ways. And I can't believe what it feels like to be able to connect in the heart. And I still get really confused when I talk to people, you know, and I have a hard time tracking. I get overwhelmed and all this stuff, but I'm okay with that now. And I can go around people now and I can connect with them. And it's amazing. I'm going to be crying all night.
So beautiful. Well, I have to say, for one thing, you're doing a grand job right now of, I'll know for sure how many people you're connecting with when we get off because I get an email telling me how many people are on the call.
Absolutely. From
the sound of the folks chiming in, you're connecting with at least about 30 people tonight, and you're doing just fine. And I have never had trouble connecting with you, Becky.
Thank you. I guess the reason I said that is I just want to encourage people that, you know, you can get past a neurological issue and a disability where you can't connect with people. You can do that through the heart and just, I don't know.
That's stunning. Yeah. So beautiful. You're giving me chills. Thank you.
Becky, you're communicating beautifully and wonderfully and warmly, and I would never guess there was any problem at all.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah.
I feel very connected to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, my goodness, it means so much.
Yeah.
It means so much to go your whole life trying to connect and you can't. And to hear you say that, thank you, and I feel it.
So now we need to change this into an affirmation. I can connect.
Yeah.
I am a connector.
Thank you.
That's
true.
Just so many times you've said, and just today, And this statement, I can't connect, I can connect. So that's a good point because it changes your vocabulary. I can.
Yeah.
I can connect. I can connect. Because you
I
are connecting. You are connecting.
I am.
There
and
you
are.
What a victory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's a beautiful example, right, of how the words are not always true to the fact of the energy, and the energy never lies, where words can be deceiving. And so it's one of the reasons that I love the heart so much, because now an affirmation for Becky makes sense. But when I went around, when I was desperate after acupuncture school, trying to make money, saying affirmations like, I will make money, I am making money, I am wealthy, I am abundant, all is well, my feelings and my emotions were really going, oh, shit, how am I going to be able to take care of
myself?
And so that fear told the truth. Well, just like here, Becky's genuine connection tells the truth, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Regardless of what the memories that her words are describing say.
And so
one of the powerful things that the heart does is it synchronizes or harmonizes all the parts of our being so that it lines up the words that we say and tell ourselves with how we feel.
Yeah.
And that authenticity and synchronization is healing. It is energizing. And so you guys are playing part of Becky's heart here tonight.
Hopefully, because she's connecting so genuinely, that she also is in a position to feel the genuineness of the responses she's getting.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's the heart. Feels good, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I love the point you make, Sheva, about the people that are practicing just affirmations without the heart being locked in.
Mm.
Because there's just so many people that are so frustrated with that process.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think, too, once people make the paradigm shift, it's become such a habit pattern to just speak the old words that no longer match the pattern. It was really so wonderful to bear witness to all this with Becky tonight. Becky, thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
We can all relate about some issue or another.
Yeah.
Did this for everybody.
Well, I'm going
to
go
like
out.
Have,
oh, yeah, please, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just like to say, I just love jumping on this call because it's so nice to be in instantaneous entrainment with a whole group of people. And your heart, Sheva, definitely bears witness to the momentum of your practice of this. I mean, as soon as I got on the phone and on my headset, I was sitting in my computer chair, and my cat doesn't usually come around much when I'm there because obviously I'm all over the place with my mind working on things. And she immediately came over and jumped on my lap, and her motor was going, and her head was up against my chest, and I'm like, yeah, we're having a heart meditation. Welcome.
Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, so it was just a reflection of the joy that I have and how much I look forward to just getting together with versus like-minded people, like-hearted people on these Monday nights. So thank you again.
It's such a joy. Thank you all for coming. I really appreciate it.
Really quick, too, Sheva, this is Kansas, and I just want to
hey, Miss
share my enthusiasm with Becky. Hi. Because I, too, have found so much joy through heart math. And this call is quite poignant because my first introduction to heart math was in relation to me asking about how to better relate with my horse. So it was a horse issue. And it really did help. He actually saved my life on occasion as I hang in precarious situations sometimes. And he's really helped me out. And it was interesting, too, because when I finally left my relationship with him, and he was wonderful, he actually got sad, or it manifested as lameness. If anyone knows what that is, it's when a horse is not able to work because they have a limp. And he was lame off and on for, I would say, like a year after I left the show. And I came back and reconnected with him, and within a couple weeks he was back and back in the show. So it goes both.
Wow.
It really is amazing.
Yes, well, and there's no question, as one of the stories that we shared in the invitation, the power of our heart has a tremendous impact on healing animals as well, and can work at a distance. So if any of you are listening to this call and you have an animal that is in need or in crisis, I encourage you to contact me. As you can hear, it's an area of work that I do a lot but never advertise, to help people facilitate well-being for their animals as well.
Mm.
Thank you, Kansas. I'm so glad you're here tonight. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad too. And thank you, Becky, for your sharing, both Beckys, but the heart math enthusiastic sharing. It really is something that's almost emotional regularly, because it is so, it really improves the quality of life. It really does.
Well, this is a call that I just wish I could stay on all night long, and I am actually now at a point where I have to sign off to go to my next meeting. However, I am moved to just say one more thing, because Becky 2, number 2, shared so vulnerably what's going on with her. The Sierra Foundation has a scholarship program where people can make tax-deductible donations for people like Becky who are on disability to come through our HeartMath training program for free on scholarship at no charge. And Becky is top on our list, waiting for a scholarship to come in. So I just wanted to mention that in case any of you listening to the call tonight have extra resources and would like to facilitate it for Becky to join our beginner class that starts tomorrow. That's a heart's desire of mine, because she's been so appreciative of the little morsels that we've been able to give her so far. It's always a joy when someone likes the appetizers to deliver them a feast. And she's put them to such good use. And I welcome all of you, of course, to join us tomorrow night for free if you're listening to this live. And if you're listening to this as a recording, you can go to our homepage and click on the Join a Beginner webinar and find the next free webinar and when that's happening. And Kansas, thank you also for what you brought and for bringing me to the horses. So lots of love to all of you tonight, and I look forward to joining you either again tomorrow to continue the love and the conversation, or to take seat in the heart again together next Monday night at 5 p.m. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.